When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TFA fam, welcome in, welcome in. We decided to push the waiver ad show. Normally we do it on Sunday night. We decided to move it to Monday night because there was two Monday night football games. So that's what we ended up doing. So that's why we were one day late. But without further ado, this was kind of a bloody week in terms of injuries. We had lost more quarterbacks. We've lost some running backs that got hurt. So there's quite a bit to talk about in a few of these departments. Other, like the wide receivers, tight ends. I mean, not as much, but at least in the quarterback and the wide receiver. Because this week, I mean, we saw once again, C.J. Stroud left with a concussion, and then Justin Herbert has a fractured finger, which is likely going to end his season. They don't have anything left to play for. I know he's going to get surgery on it. I highly doubt he plays. I think he's probably done for the year. And so with that being said, I mean, two more quarterbacks go down. You're probably going to need some waiver ads. You know, I know once we get to the playoffs, you're usually saying something like, oh, well, if you're having to, you know, stream during this time of the year, you probably, you know, aren't making the playoffs or whatever. Your team's not very good. But we've had such a massive amount of quarterbacks that get hurt. Like, I don't think that's the case. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. So Matthew Stafford is who I'm going to start out with. On ESPN, he's only rostered in 33% of leagues. On Yahoo, he's rostered in 50% of leagues. So I wanted to go ahead and put him on here because once again, he put together another great game. This time it was against one of the best defenses in the league. In the Baltimore Ravens, Stafford threw for 294 yards and three touchdowns for 23 fantasy points. He now has three straight games of 20-plus fantasy points, and now they get by far the best matchup of all the streaming quarterbacks for the Commanders coming up. The Commanders have allowed the second-most fantasy points to the position, and he is a must-add if some of you had C.J. Stroud or Justin Herbert. He is 100% the number one guy I want to add. Next up, you have Jake Browning. Now, this is a guy that I would not have thought I would have had on here, but 2 weeks in a row, he has looked solid. He threw for 275 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. He also rushed three times for 7 yards and another score. Good for 25 fantasy points. He has now put up 25 or more in back-to-back weeks. For context, he has scored 50 points over his last two games. He has scored more than Kenny Pickett has all year in fantasy points in two games. So if that does anything for you, so or that's just how bad Kenny Pickett is. So one or the other. But anyways, he does have a tougher matchup though this week. It is a home matchup against the Vikings on Saturday, but they have allowed the 19th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Not nearly as good of a matchup, but they do still have really good weapons. And Jake Browning has looked pretty good. So he is somebody I think you can look to add. Old faithful Gardner Minshew is on here, rostered in 28% of leagues. Minshew's back to his normal stat line, throwing for 240 yards and one touchdown against the Bengals. This should have been a great matchup, but he managed only a meager 15 fantasy points, which is pretty much what you expect to get from him every single week. This week, the Colts take on a Steelers defense that has allowed the 10th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. So not really a great matchup here, but they look like they could be without J.J. Watt, who entered the concussion protocol, so maybe that helps things a little bit. But next up, let's talk about Zach Wilson. This was probably the best effort of Zach Wilson's career, and it came at a time that no one would have guessed. With a rain-filled game against the Texans that nobody wanted to play, extremely low total, Wilson threw for 300 yards, which is just the third time in his career. He has two touchdowns. He ended up with two touchdowns and 20 fantasy points on top of that. Next up is a matchup against the Dolphins, who have been pretty average against the position, allowing the 15th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. But I'm going to say, like, if you have to play Zach Wilson, I mean, things are pretty dire, but I know a lot of people have hoarded quarterbacks, especially with all the backups and having to be added. So I did want to put him on here. And then Joe Flacco, the 39-year-old Flacco, has once again had another solid day against the Jaguars. He threw for 311 yards and three touchdowns for 21 fantasy points. However, this is probably where the feel-good story comes to an end, because while some will tell you this is a solid matchup, that narrative is wrong. Against the Bears, the Browns will face a Bears defense that has been dominant over the last month. The Browns are this season, the Bears have allowed the 14th most fantasy points. However, over their last four games, the Bears have allowed the 7th fewest passing yards per game and have the 2nd most takeaways among all defenses. They've also allowed 13 or fewer points, real points, in 3 of their last 4 games as well. So this is not as good of a matchup here for Joe Flacco, but I know times are tough, and he is widely available because he's Joe Flacco. And then I put Will Levis on here just because of the matchup that he gets this week, but he is somebody else that really is tough to trust as well. So this is kind of the way that I would look at it here in terms of the streaming options this week.
I'll just throw out there quickly, since we're shitting on Kenny Pickett for no reason, I'm here for it. Don't get me wrong. Joe Flacco also has more 250-yard and multiple touchdown games, has more of those than Kenny Pickett does. The Steelers actually don't have one of those since Big Ben. So just to throw more shit on top of that. But let's go ahead and go over to the running backs. This is going to be where it's at this week in terms of waivers. There is a lot to get through. I'm going to leave things off with the Kansas City running backs. Now, both these guys were likely added in any competitive leagues, but they're still, both of these guys were rostered in less than 40% of ESPN leagues. So I did just want to lead off with them, obviously, because they are going to be in the best offense here. It was notable for me that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he did play 2 more snaps. He obviously saw more touches than McKinnon. McKinnon, 16 of his 30 snaps came during the 2-minute drill, though. So it does seem like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to, in this one game sample anyway, that Edwards-Helaire is going to be the preferred back. It could easily be because of McKinnon working his way back from the injury that he missed 2 games from. In full PPR leagues, I'd probably still lean McKinnon if he's out there. Half point PPR in standard leagues, I'd go CEH, but both these guys should be rostered in way more leagues than what they are right now. We always saw Alexander Mattison go down with what is likely a high ankle sprain. Obviously, with the state of the Vikings as well, there's probably not going to be any reason to rush him back. So Ty Chandler is someone who, if you need a running back who is likely going to be looking at a workhorse type of role, Ty Chandler is going to be that guy. Kenny Nwangu was the only other running back to see any snaps in this game. He only saw 3. So I think it's safe to say that Chandler is going to be the guy going forward. Also, although this offense does not look fantastic, the Vikings do get the Bengals and the Packers in 2 of the 3 fantasy playoff weeks. Both those matchups are going to be really nice for Ty Chandler. So he's high on the list this week. Chase Brown, also high on the list this week. He has seen decent involvement in back-to-back weeks, clearly has more juice than Mixon does at this point of his career. Going back to 2 weeks ago, Brown did see 9 carries. He had 1 fewer this week on Sunday, but he was actually involved in the passing game on Sunday. He saw 3 targets. Obviously, that's where the majority of his fantasy points came in, on that 50-yard receiving touchdown. He's going to be one of the top adds for me. I think he can have some standalone value, but obviously if Mixon were to get injured or go down, he seems like the clear preference for the Bengals. They tried to go with a couple of different running backs earlier in the year in terms of who's going to be the RB2 behind Mixon, but Chase Brown has been so far the only guy who has shown anything in terms of production. So he is a really good add. Zamir White, we had Josh Jacobs go down with what looks like a hyperextended knee. They are also the Thursday night game. Again, this is a team that's not going anywhere, so I can't imagine they rush Josh Jacobs back out there. So he should be looked at. We also did not see too many offensive snaps for the Raiders after Josh Jacobs went down, but they're going to be going up against a Chargers team that is likely going to be without Justin Herbert. So I can't imagine we see too much Amir Abdullah in terms of a pass-catching role, just because they're not necessarily going to need that. I did throw Keaton Mitchell on here. he's still sitting around like that 35% roster percentage on ESPN. I know he's probably not available in your leagues, but if he's sitting out there for whatever reason, he needs to be picked up as well. I wouldn't look too much into this past week in terms of Justice Hill leading that running back group. This was a scenario where the Ravens were playing from behind, so Justice Hill kind of came in. It was the guy who ran a ton of routes, it, you know, relatively speaking, in terms of the backfield. But it was still Keaton Mitchell, who actually saw more carries than Gus Edwards, so he definitely needs to be rostered. I moved Rico Dowdle out of the pure handcuff range, and I think he is an ad. We saw him get more involved in this game this past week against Philly. He definitely needs to be rostered. He's someone who might have some standalone value, but obviously if Tony Pollard goes down, it's going to be the Rico Dowdle show. Kenny Gainwell kind of in a similar position there. He's getting some touches behind DeAndre Swift, so he should be rostered as well, because if anything happens to Swift, I do think we see Rashad Penny come into the fold a little bit, but it's clear that that's going to be Kenny Gainwell and some Boston Scott type of action. And then Deonta Foreman, allowed Roshon Johnson to get Kev's hopes up 2 weeks ago with the injury. But coming out of the bye, Foreman just returns and goes right back to being the lead back. He's honestly looked like the best back for the majority of the year outside of like 1.5 games from Khalil Herbert. But in week 14, we saw Foreman get 55% of the snaps, which doesn't sound great. But he did handle 73% of the running back rush attempts. Also had 3 targets on 16 routes run. That was one more route run than Roshon and Herbert combined. So I think Foreman is going to be the guy here. But I also think this could just be a headache, and we could see Herbert be the lead back the next week. You know, Roshon Johnson pops up. But I think as of right now, it does look like Deonta Foreman. So if you need to plug someone in, he's out there. He's widely available. Handcuff plus range, Tyjae Spears, Michael Carter, D'Ernest Johnson. Again, with the Jags, we have seen Travis Etienne not be as involved in terms of a snap share as he was earlier in the season. So D'Ernest Johnson is definitely a guy I want to pick up. And then in the handcuffs, Eli Mitchell, Chase Edmonds, the Atlanta running backs, Cordell Patterson keeps getting some touches. He is going to be way more available than Tyler Algier, but both of those guys should be available. Royce Freeman is the only running back getting touches behind Kyren Williams, and Kyren Williams is kind of holding that to himself. But Royce Freeman would be the clear handcuff to have there. And then for some deep ads, Ty Johnson, the running backs of the Bills have been way more involved with Joe Brady taking over. Ty Johnson, you know, has a little bit of juice. I think he has more pop than Latavius Murray. He's doing well with the limited touches he is getting. So if anything were to happen to like Latavius Murray or James Cook, I think Ty Johnson gets a little bit more involved. But in like 14 team leagues and deeper, I think you can throw him in the flex in a pinch. Dario Ogunbowale, Kev, you were talking about CJ Stroud going down. For the past 2 weeks, Ogunbowale has been the preferred pass catching back for the Texans. They may need him now. I can't imagine there's going to be too many games, or especially for next week. Let me rephrase that. For next week anyway, if CJ Stroud were to miss with the concussion, they might be without Nico Collins. Obviously, they already lost Tank Dell, so Ogunbowale could be someone to look at. And I threw Chris Rodriguez on here. It did look like Brian Robinson was going to miss multiple weeks with that hamstring injury. But Ron Rivera came out today and said that he expects Brian Robinson to practice. So obviously, if Brian Robinson is going to be back, that just absolutely puts the kibosh on Chris Rodriguez. But for Antonio Gibson, he was sitting around like that 50% ownership on ESPN. If he's out there, you could look to add him. But Chris Rodriguez is just a name in deep leagues to keep an eye on just in case Brian Robinson were to miss. But it does look like he's at least going to try to play and should be a practice this week.
Just wild, right? Like, you know, your team that's out of it. Hey, let's see. Maybe see what Chris Rodriguez can do, right? Let's hold him out. Let's hold him on another week until he's making, make sure he's 100% healthy. But you got to run somebody out there. You just got to do it. Anyways, let's move over to the wide receiver position. Now, there's not a ton to talk about here when it comes to what I know we got some players on this list, but I kind of wanted to add some players on here just because of, there wasn't a lot of standout options this week. I mean, I put Odell Beckham. I feel like Odell Beckham, Curtis Samuel, and Noah Brown are probably rostered in a lot of your competitive leagues, but I still wanted to talk about them. I mean, Odell Beckham is the cover boy for most people this week in terms of the wide receivers to add. Had another solid game on Sunday, but he hauled in four passes for 97 yards and a score for 19 PPR points. While Beckham continues to play a part-time role in terms of routes run, he's still a bigger part of the offense. And the Ravens have a very, very favorable end-of-season schedule with matchups against the Jaguars, 49ers, and Dolphins, which are all plus matchups for wide receivers. So Odell does somebody is somebody, if he is sitting out there, should be rostered. Curtis Samuel was on bye this past week, but the last time we saw him, he was targeted five times, turned that into 65 yards on four catches. Commanders' rest of season schedule is tough with matchups against the Rams, Jets, and 49ers, but they should be in passing game scripts in at least two of the three of those. So Curtis Samuel does make some sense there. Zay Jones, another he's probably not likely available, especially after the week he came off with week prior, but still was 29% rostered. But Jones saw a whopping 14 targets on Sunday. However, he was only able to haul in five of those for 29 yards. Obviously not very efficient, but he played 84% of the snaps and will continue to see a very heavy workload with Christian Kirk on IR. Jonathan Mingo. Mingo's 28% target share once again led the team this week, but he also didn't do much with them, only hauling in two of them for 22 yards. But he did see nine targets in that game. He has now seen six or more targets in five straight games, but Bryce Young overthrew him on what would have been his first NFL touchdown. Mingo sees the targets to be a viable fantasy option. However, the production is just not following him right now, mainly because that offense is just terrible. But Jonathan Mingo, if you're looking in a pinch, you're looking for somebody, Jonathan Mingo does make some sense. Next up, let's talk about Michael Wilson, the guy I've been talking about all year. But Wilson returned to their unofficial practice session on Monday, which is a very positive sign. He has missed their last three games due to an injury. But prior to the injury, he had 50 or more receiving yards in five of the eight games he played in. And now with Kyler under center, Wilson could be a solid flex option. I expect him to turn back to the starting lineup and be a every down wide receiver. He's also widely available. It should change with matchups against the 49ers, Bears, and Eagles. Two of those are very good matchups against wide receivers. So Michael Wilson is near kind of the top that I would look to add, mainly because I just think guys like Odell, Curtis Samuel, Noah Brown are all probably going to be widely owned in most leagues that are competitive anyways. DeMario Douglas, he has missed the last two games with a concussion. He should have a shot at returning this week. Douglas will continue to be a volume-based flex option in PPR formats, but they do get really positive game script matchups, at least passing scripts, against the Chiefs, Broncos, and Bills. He's only rostered 20% of leagues. Quentin Johnston. I've talked about this guy. He's 21% rostered. To me, you'd have to be kind of desperate to add Quentin Johnston. I know the 91 yards on three receptions look pretty intriguing, but the majority came on a rare, impressive 57-yard reception from Easton Stick. The opportunity has been there the last month, and he's done little with it. Now with Herbert out for the foreseeable future, he's going to be even less intriguing, but if you are desperate, he's going to be out there running routes for sure. Hopefully, maybe this is a sign of things to come, that maybe he's kind of figured some things out because he has dropped that pass more often than he's caught it. It was a very nice catch for that 57-yard that really kind of made his day, but he is really hard to trust, and now it looks to be one of the worst offenses in the league. Now you're going to have Easton Stick out here handling the quarterback position. Some other guys that I just wanted to hit on, maybe some guys, they're not really must-add for me, more so stash. Not, I don't like to say stash with only 3 weeks left of the season, but maybe guys, if you're in a pinch, you need a flex option. Michael Gallup, 12% rostered. He caught three of the five targets for 48 yards at a score. He's going to be extremely hard to trust being the number four target in the offense due to only running about 50% of the routes. But if you're extremely desperate due to injuries, he is attached to one of the best offenses in the league and on offense that throws the ball a lot. So Michael Gallup, you know, you could hope and pray for a touchdown. Rashad Bateman, much like Odell Beckham. He has one of the best remaining season schedules, like we've talked about, but he did see his route participation drop from 85% the week prior down to 46%. But Rashad Bateman was battling the flu all last week, so this is likely the reason that we saw such a steep decline, and as Nelson Aguilar saw a jump from 40% to 67% in week 14. So I do think that it had a lot to do with it. Rashad Bateman, 16%, and then Kadarius Toney, I don't really want to mention his name, but here we are. We finally saw a big movement from the Chiefs, the way they used their wide receivers this week. Rashi Rice ran a season-high 82% of the routes and saw a team-high 27% target share. However, we saw MVS and Sky Moore drop significantly, as they fucking should, and Toney jumped up to nearly 50% of the routes and saw a 24% target per route run rate, which is just behind Rashi Rice. Tony was a half yard away from scoring a touchdown off a lateral from Travis Kelce. But Tony is extremely hard to trust and would have to be really hurting. But Tony is seeing a bump in usage and somebody that they're going to manufacture touches for this right now. He's kind of their best, one of their best playmakers. I know he does a lot of dumb things. He drops a lot of passes. Can't figure out where to line up. But without those things considered, Kadarius Toney still is somebody that is going to see a lot of targets. And their schedule remaining is against the Patriots. It's against the Bengals, which is a great matchup, against the Raiders, which is a good matchup. So, I mean, the rest of the season schedule should be pretty favorable for them. And then Parker Washington was another player I wanted to highlight. Kind of thought of putting him as kind of like an ad, but he caught 2 of 3 passes for 27 yards and a score on 10 fantasy points. He only saw a 6% target share, though, which will make him hard to trust. But he is worth an ad in deeper formats.
Let's wrap it up with the Week 15 tight end streams. There are actually a couple decent options here, depending on how deep you need to go. But we're going to lead it off with Isaiah Likely and Logan Thomas. Both those guys are rostered about 45% of ESPN leagues. Isaiah Likely is obviously going to be the one to roster here in the best offense. Did have a solid day on Sunday. A lot of that coming on the the broken play where he was left all alone on the left side and ran in for the touchdown, but he should still be at the top of the list. Logan Thomas, you can always count on him for 4 for 40. If he finds the end zone, he's really going to make you happy, but he's obviously going to be in the streaming conversation week in and week out. Tucker Kraft going to be out there running a ton of routes with Jordan Love, although they are not looking great right now going up against the Giants. But he's obviously in the discussion as well. Tanner Hudson, he keeps putting together solid days, solid weeks in terms of fantasy production. Jake Browning, we had the bad week, the first start he had, but the past two games, he's been looking really solid in replacement of Joe Burrow. So Hudson found the end zone once again this week, and that's really the only thing you can hope for out of your tight ends. Michael Mayer, again, out there running a ton of routes. Davis Allen is someone who is interesting if Tyler Higbee is out. We saw Davis Allen, the fifth-round rookie for the Rams, come out and end up being the guy at tight end with Hunter Long going down with a knee injury. Made the most of it, played 73% of the snaps, ran 63% of the routes, caught 4 of his 5 targets for 50 yards and a score. Definitely a thin play here, and he's only going to be viable if Tyler Higbee were to miss again. And then Gerald Everett, Kev, you're kind of talking about Quentin Johnson, but Gerald Everett here, you don't love it with Easton Stick being at quarterback, but saw the most targets for the Chargers. And another name I didn't have on here would be Hunter Henry. I don't necessarily want to chase what he did this past Thursday against the Steelers. Yes, he had the 2 touchdowns, but he had 3 catches. That's obviously not a repeatable performance, but he's someone you could take a look at in Week 15 as well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.